You may be seated. Good morning. Our first case is 10-985, Ruby K. Pula et al. Versus Adrian Haunani Pula Branch. And we have Mr. Young for the appellant.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. My name is Joe Young. I'm an assistant prosecuting attorney representing the Cuyahoga County Child Support Enforcement Agency. Today's discussion will involve matters and issues related to the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, which is commonly referred to as the UIFSA Act. And with the court's permission, I will so refer to the act as the UIFSA Act for purposes of brevity.
Could you speak up a little, please? I'm having difficulty hearing.
Certainly. Thank you, Your Honor. As I said, I will refer to the Interstate Act as the UIFSA Act for the purposes of the argument. Also, we will hear mention of a phrase from the UIFSA legislation, that being authorized tribunal. And essentially, for purposes of our discussion, what that simply means is a court that is authorized or possesses the jurisdiction to hear the matters subject of the UIFSA pleading. We are here today to ask this court to issue a holding that where the Ohio legislature has conferred upon a domestic relations division all the powers and jurisdiction as other judges of the Common Pleas Court possess, that domestic relations division is an authorized tribunal for purposes of the UIFSA statute.
Can I ask a clarifying question to try
Certainly.
To understand the reach of this opinion? If you are not married, so you don't fit into divorce, dissolution, legal separation, or annulment category, you're not married and you seek a custody order, and it doesn't involve anything out of state now.
Yes.
Under this opinion, it seemed to me you have to go to Common Pleas Court for that custody decision. Is that how that seems to be the way they wrote it? They said you don't have jurisdiction, and so if you're not married but you're living in state, you go to Common Pleas Court in under this opinion?
The Pula decision essentially misinterprets the statutes relating to jurisdiction, and that's going to be the basis of my argument, which I plan to keep very simple and concise because I think it is a very straightforward issue. Essentially, what they have held is if parties are unmarried, they don't belong in domestic relations division.
So they're even saying in in-state non-married custody actions, they now go to common pleas instead of the general division instead of domestic.
Well, I think they suggest that it should be in the juvenile division.
Juvenile division.
Right, and as I will demonstrate, that is a flaw in the reasoning. But before I analyze the Pula decision itself, I'd like to set forth the basis of the jurisdiction, which, as I said, is very straightforward. The holding that I have requested applies to all domestic relations divisions across the state, and in so demonstrating that holding is accurate, I intend to demonstrate that three simple propositions are supported by common law, case law, and statute. The first of those is very simply that UIFSA actions that involve paternity and support issues are civil matters. The second proposition is that being a court of general jurisdiction, the Common Pleas Court has and possesses concurrent original jurisdiction over issues of paternity and child support. The third proposition is that insofar as the Ohio legislature has conferred upon a domestic relations division the same powers and jurisdiction as those judges of the general division of the Court of Common Pleas, the domestic relations division is also possessing concurrent original jurisdiction over paternity and support matters. All of those three propositions are well supported by case law and statute, and if you accept the validity of those three propositions, you can essentially reach but one conclusion, and that is in support of the holding that I've requested
today.
So
could they have filed this in juvenile court?
Absolutely.
They could have.
They could have, but they chose not.
Instead, the Child Support Enforcement Agency went to domestic relations.
Correct.
Why?
There's a long history that's somewhat presented in the brief, but essentially, back before UIFSA was enacted in 1998, the ERISA provisions provided that these actions could be provided in any court. They didn't mention tribunal. There are a lot of reasons why the nomenclature changed. But essentially, I believe the decision was made because that is where the resources were best able to handle these types of cases. Juvenile court certainly could have been a proper forum, but juvenile court has a whole host of other issues involving docketing times, resources, abilities, and because the ERISA actions under the old statute had always been in domestic relations court, and those cases would continue to have to be handled by the Domestic Relations Division.
Even for unmarried individuals, they went to DR?
Correct.
All right. Now, could they have gone to the General Division with this action?
I believe they could have.
So is that General Division opportunity open to anybody that wants to have a decision based on a child support decision?
I think that the law is clear that the General Division has concurrent jurisdiction over matters of paternity and child support. This very court has held in 1996, the case of Brookbank versus Gray, that the General Division of the Common Pleas Court had concurrent jurisdiction over paternity issues because the legislature had not removed that jurisdiction by a grant of exclusive original jurisdiction to the juvenile
court. So how do we find that all of the cases, except maybe a few, such as this, are filed in juvenile court between unmarried people contesting support and custody issues?
Well, the distinction here is that if you're talking about one state forums, in other words, both parties within the county, I think juvenile court has been the traditional place where those have been filed. Does not mean that there is not opportunity to file somewhere else. I would have to speculate, but the motivation, I guess, is juvenile court is uniquely situated to deal with these types of issues, and for someone to pick up and decide to file this type of action in the General Division of the Court of Common Pleas may be authorized, but it would be a very wise decision. Put it on the docket of
someone. But you're saying that a Common Pleas Court General Division judge would be able to hear a case involving child support issues between unmarried individuals?
Yes.
Do you know the practice around the state?
I'm sorry?
Are you familiar with the practice of these kinds of claims around the state?
I would have to say I cannot tell you how each district handles it given the choice. I know that many of the enabling statutes in Revised Code Section 2301.03 treat different jurisdictions differently. There are 30 subsections of that statute dealing with 30 separate counties. Some of them specify, they recognize the concurrent jurisdiction, but then they go on to say all of these interstate cases must be filed in the Domestic Relations Division. We're taking all those rights away from juvenile court. Some of them go so far as to say interstate cases and paternity actions and support actions involving unmarried parents all have to be filed in domestic relations court. They make that affirmative determination. In other words, they limit the choices available to the litigants.
Showing my age, they used to have the Uniform Reciprocal Support Act. Is that still viable?
Uniform Reciprocal Enforcement of Support Act is the original, the ERISA, which evolved into the R-ERISA, and now is the UIFSA. So it has been replaced.
But that was venued only in the domestic relations court. Is that right?
Actually, the enabling language of that statute said it could be filed in any court of record.
Okay.
So, Mr. Young, is it a matter of venue rather than jurisdiction that we're talking about here?
Well, I think that may be what caused some confusion with the 8th District's decision in Pula, because they jumped to a statute unrelated to the conferring of jurisdiction. They went to Revised Code Section 3105.011 and stated very succinctly that that is the statute that confers jurisdiction on the Domestic Relations Division. But that very statement was contradicted one paragraph later when they said you have to go to Revised Code 2301.03 to determine jurisdiction on a countywide basis.
So you're saying that 2301.03 is really the one that we would look to because each domestic relations or probate or juvenile division within Common Pleas is specified there and talks about the subject matter. Is that it?
Yes, that's true. And as I said, the request for the holding is to recognize the plain meaning of that statute, where the legislature has said, we're going to create a separate division, the Domestic Relations Division, and all of those judges will be judges of the Court of Common Pleas and share and exercise the same powers and jurisdiction, but we will also concentrate our domestic relations type cases to those judges so they're not floating around and distributed everywhere. The court, in this decision, failed to recognize that explicit grant of authority, and it's interesting to note that of the 30 subsections, single letter A through double letter D with 30 different counties, 28 of them contain the same type of language, that it confers the general jurisdiction. Only two, subsections B and subsection Y dealing with Hamilton and Auglaize County, do something different. So it's a pretty widespread practice of the legislature that all of these districts within the state have that type of grant of authority.
So it, as a practical matter, if a case like this would be filed in the general jurisdiction, say in Lucas County, where we have the distinct divisions of juvenile, of domestic, and the case would be filed It would be someone's motion to send the case to the proper division. Is that what would happen?
Actually, what happens with interstate cases is, let's say a jurisdiction such as Texas decides our client, the agency, has to bring an action in Ohio because that's where the proposed obligor is. They prepare a petition and file it through the interstate process. That goes to the State Office of Child Support in Ohio. They then look at the petition, review the facts, and determine which is the appropriate tribunal to send it to. In our case, it would be send it to Cuyahoga County. At that point, it arrives at the CSEA, the local CSEA, who then turns around and files it according to its normal practice and procedure.
Do you know how many cases there are like this in Cuyahoga County? Any estimate?
I can't put a number on it. I know that for purposes of this discussion, we're talking about the 8th District ruling in Pula affecting all cases involving ERISA or ERIFSA for the last 12 years. And I would submit that that's hundreds, if not thousands, of cases, because once those cases are ruled upon, they don't go away. These cases are alive throughout the minority and well beyond of that child as long, until the complete support order is paid off in full.
But because this case arises under subsection L of the statute, it really only pertains to cases in Cuyahoga County and wouldn't really have statewide application because the other sections of the statute define the parameters for those counties. Is that correct, or is it beyond that?
I would respectfully disagree with that for two reasons. First of all, the 8th District, in making its ruling, as I said, erroneously relied on Revised Code Section 3105.011.
Okay.
It based its holding and cited the Lisboa case out of the 8th District, which in turn cited a number of other districts, including Franklin County, Clinton County, that made the same error in determining domestic relations jurisdiction. Now, those cases did not involve UIFSA matters. They were other matters in which the same issue came up. So the holding that I proposed, where I suggested that any district that has this grant of jurisdiction is an authorized tribunal, would apply to all districts throughout the state and would clarify the misapprehension regarding 3105.011 for all districts.
But counsel, to that point, I believe I read in your brief that all of the courts are not granted the same broad jurisdiction. So there are some courts, when the legislature created them, gave them a lesser degree of jurisdiction than what they did with the DR court and general jurisdiction in Cuyahoga County. Isn't that correct?
Yes, two out of the 30 are lesser degrees. 28 out of the 30 mentioned in that statute mm-hmm. have that general grant of all powers and jurisdiction as the general members of the Commonwealth.
And so this case could be very narrowly tailored to those courts that have the broad jurisdiction that you described, because you mentioned Franklin County and Lucas County, I believe, they both have a combined DR and juvenile court.
Correct. And the practical implication of that this requested holding for those districts may not impact their handling of UIFSA matters, but to the extent that it assists in the appropriate determination of that court's jurisdiction, it may affect their handling of other matters involving these types of issues.
And then the other question I would have is, there's 30 counties mentioned in the statute.
Yes.
What about the other counties in Ohio? There'd be 58 others then. Are those single court single jurisdiction courts?
That may be the case. They may have courts set up as combination probate.
So in some of the smaller counties, say Meigs County, for example, there's only one common pleas court judge and he or she does everything.
Certainly. And for instance, in Champaign County, I know they have one domestic relations general judge and one judge that serves both as juvenile and probate.
So any ruling we would have here would impact Meigs County if we said any court of general jurisdiction, juvenile or domestic, would be a proper venue for entertaining this type of case.
Well, the holding as requested relies on that section 2301.03, and it only would affect those counties, the 28 that mm-hmm. I mentioned, that have that language that say domestic relations division judges shall exercise the same powers and jurisdiction of the general
division. So the limitation of our opinion then is to those 28 counties, really.
And you wouldn't have to mention them by name, but to say that wherever that specific grant of authority exists, that court is an authorized tribunal.
I understand.
Mr. Young,
thank
could you
Mr.
mention
Young.
The two that are lesser? That would help us.
Yes, the first 30. One is subsection B of that code, which is Hamilton County, and subsection Y, which deals with Auglaize County, which is another interesting setup. They apparently have a combination probate juvenile judge, and that statute specifically states that the probate juvenile judge shall also serve as the administrative judge of the Domestic Relations Division.
Mm. Counsel, I wonder if the implication of your decision is that an unmarried parent who seeks a child support order in Cahoga County or any of those that are similarly authorized could, instead of going to juvenile court, go to domestic relations court, and their choice has to be honored?
Actually, that's not quite accurate for the following reason.
If you would tell me why that
Certainly.
Would not be.
When you look at the jurisdictional grant of authority for juvenile court at revised code 2151.23A, that lists those cases which are subject to the exclusive original jurisdiction of the juvenile court. And that states that the juvenile court has exclusive jurisdiction over any requests for support that are not incident to a divorce, dissolution, etc. The difference between the local case and the interstate case is explicitly excepted from that exclusive jurisdiction is any case filed pursuant to the UIFSA statute. So if you have unmarried parties from other states that are coming in under UIFSA, they are not subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the juvenile court. Whereas if you have two local parties, they are subject to the exclusive jurisdictional juvenile court process. And for that reason, the legislature has spoken and removed that class of cases from the jurisdiction of the general division.
All right, I appreciate that. Let me explore another issue with you, and that is the same powers as the judges of the Common Pleas Court. In some counties, the practice is that when the general division gets an overload of cases, that the domestic relations judge will serve as a general division judge.
Yes.
As opposed to the case in the general division being transferred over to the domestic relations division. And the same way would be true with the juvenile probate judge. So the judges can sit in either division, but it's a little different than cases being transferred to the different divisions. So I just wonder whether your explanation about the powers is entirely correct in that you can file in either division as opposed to the judges being able to move across divisions to decide cases in those particular divisions.
I think that your example actually supports my proposed holding because it recognizes that a common pleas court judge in the general division has the same powers as a common pleas court judge in the domestic relations division. They both have the same powers, which allows them to substitute for each other. They're not isolated to certain types of cases. They have those general powers. 2301.03 also has the last subsection, double E, which speaks to the situation where a domestic relations division judge or a juvenile judge for that matter is ill or has pressing needs and can't manage the docket, they can fill in for each other. And that is in large part due to the fact that a lot of those statutes also mention the fact that juvenile courts also have all the same powers and jurisdictions as the general division.
Counsel, judges. Following up on Justice Cupp's line of questioning, I think I would read this statute to mean that domestic relation courts have all of the authority of a general division judge, court. In addition, they have DR jurisdiction over all of these cases. Okay, it's not the other way around, where all general division judges are vested with DR capacity. The general division judges, the domestic relations judges are equal for the potential transfer of cases so that they can fill in when necessary and there's an overflow of cases or for whatever reason. And that, of course, is a common practice in some jurisdictions. But then the statute goes out, and they shall have all the powers relating to all divorce, dissolution of marriage, legal separation, and annulment cases, except cases that are assigned to some other judge for some special reason.
Right.
So I'm not looking at it as domestic relations, common pleas court judges encompass all of the responsibilities of the domestic relations court judges. It's the other way. The domestic relations court judges encompass all of the authority granted to a general division judge plus the authority over these limited types of cases. And that, I think, logically extends to the specialized general divisions that are probate, juvenile, and domestic relations.
I agree with you to a point, except the last few words of that sentence in subsection L state, unless otherwise assigned for a special reason. That sentence is essentially an assignment rule. It recognizes that both general and domestic relations division judges can hear those cases, and it says, unless there's a good reason not to do so, we're going to ask and mandate that all of these are filed in the domestic relations division. But if there's a good reason for it, you can still assign it to another judge of the division. So it's not a jurisdictional denial of the general division flat out, which some of those subsections do deal with. It states that in preference, our assignment rule rather than our jurisdictional statement is that you all have jurisdiction, but we're going to file all of these over here unless there's a real good reason to send them somewhere else.
So you're telling me that all the cases of this nature, UIFSA cases, are filed in domestic relations court?
In Cuyahoga County, they have been, yes.
For 12 years?
Much longer than that, since the ERISA was enacted and certainly since the UIFSA took the place of ERISA in 1998.
Counsel, in your position is that it's venue, not jurisdiction, because in your earlier argument, you indicated that if we were to not find in your favor, it could impact thousands of cases.
Yes.
But that's if we determine it's jurisdictional. Venue is waivable. And so is your position that where these cases are heard is a matter of venue, or is it a matter of jurisdiction?
I believe that the 8th District's decision confused the two concepts. Mm-hmm. And if the holding that I have requested is promoted and adopted by the court, it's my position that the agency can choose to file these petitions either in juvenile or domestic relations, whichever they choose, and for whatever reason, be it economy of docket space or whatever, but they are not required to choose one over the other because each of those divisions is an authorized tribunal, which is what the Pula Court held is not the case.
So what subject matter jurisdiction is not an issue? The subject matter jurisdiction of the court?
It is an issue in this case because the 8th District decision declined to find that subject matter jurisdiction vested in the Domestic Relations Division, contrary to the plain language of the statute, as I've articulated pursuant to 2301.03L. They skipped that first sentence that said these judges have all the same jurisdictional bases as the general division.
Let me ask it a different way. Where is subject matter jurisdiction?
Subject matter jurisdiction.
Which courts, which divisions, if you will, have subject matter jurisdiction over this particular type of action?
UIFSA matters, subject matter jurisdiction for those matters exists in both the juvenile and the domestic relations division, including as well the general division if people were so inclined to file it. Because
so you would say all of the common pleas courts?
Yes.
How about probate?
Probate court, no, because the probate statute that authorizes the jurisdiction does not contain similar language as does the Domestic Relations Division statute. It does not confer upon the probate court all powers and jurisdiction as the judges of the other general division.
That's the language that you're relying on to say that they have the same subject matter jurisdiction, the beginning of the language relating to the powers of the court.
Yes, and that proposition has been supported by case law going all the way back to 1930. The case of Price versus Price in our appellate brief did a nice analysis stating that the general division and the domestic relations division are supposed to have some measure of interchangeability. In footnote 9, they cited a Montgomery County case from 1891, I believe, stating that being elected as a domestic relations division judge allows that judge to practice as a general division or a domestic relations.
But that's as the Chief Justice mentioned, we're talking about the powers of the judge. Are you saying that there are cases that use the language you're talking about and relate it to subject matter jurisdiction of cases that are filed
in
a particular tribunal?
Yes. Price versus Price out of Cuyahoga County, 1984. Dixon versus Dixon, 1982, both cited in the appellant's brief, specifically addressed the fact that domestic relations division judges have those grants.
And these are both appellate cases.
They are, and interestingly enough, they're out of Cuyahoga County, which is
right. So, I mean, this court has not taken that position.
Correct. This court has taken the position that the general division has subject matter jurisdiction over paternity issues and related issues that could be brought in juvenile court because they're not subject to the exclusive jurisdiction. And by extension, because the Domestic Relations Division judges are given that same authority in these specific subsections, they too must possess that jurisdiction.
And what case are you relying on for that prop?
Brookbank versus Gray is the Ohio Supreme Court case, 1996, which adopted the 1984 holding in the Standard versus Arwood decision.
Thank you.
Counsel, it's one thing to have the authority to decide a case. It's another thing whether or not the court would find that it's more properly decided in another court that has similar authority. So
certainly.
In this case in Cauga County, for example, could the CSEA file in the General Division? And what would those judges do if they don't want to decide that case but think it's more properly decided in either juvenile or domestic relations?
If I had to speculate, my guess would be that the administrative judge of the General Division would undertake his powers to reassign a case for a legitimate reason, and that may be the special expertise of the judges that normally handle those cases. If they have power and jurisdiction over the case, then the administrative judge also has power and jurisdiction to reassign it as is appropriate.
Do the attorneys that handle these cases, we're talking pretty much, how much are we talking just with this interstate statute, and how much are we talking about local domestic cases?
Are you talking about quantifying the number of cases?
No, I'm talking about in general terms. Are your arguments here mostly limited, you know, to the interstate issue? And if we were to talk about the local resident issue, that would maybe be a different situation.
Correct. That's not an issue before this court right now. And as I said, that is excluded from the General Division by the exclusive grant of authority under 2151.23A. The only issue here is whether or not the Domestic Relations Division in this case and in all like situated counties is an authorized tribunal for purposes of the UFSA statute. It's a limited issue. Definition of authorized tribunal, which is at the core of this case and affects all of these cases.
And how many cases do you estimate are filed a year in DR that are parallel to the Pula case?
I don't have figures for how many have averaged over the years. I do know that the number of cases we're talking about that are affected are in the high hundreds, if not the thousands. And prospect
in Cuyahoga County.
In Cuyahoga County, yes. Because as a result of this decision, the Domestic Relations Division has considered transferring all of those affected cases to the Juvenile Division even prior to this court's ruling on what the status of those orders are, which is problematic in and of itself. But they've given a rough estimate of the number of cases we're talking about, and those are only the ones that are still active on the docket. Those that may no longer be active but would be rendered void ab initio by this ruling would still be subject to great amounts of litigation once that occurs, because it doesn't take the action of a litigant to render it void. It is automatic.
Once they're inactive, it's presumed they're inactive because the support order terminated based on age of the child.
True.
So those aren't able to be revisited.
Well, but if the Pula decision is left to stand, the underlying bases of those orders would be declared void, and litigants would very likely come in and say, hey, I want my money back. You had no authority to collect that from me. Now we're dealing with a lot of civil litigation, not to mention people trying to have review of their criminal convictions based on non-supported defendants that were based on underlying void orders. All of those would create a mountain of litigation in all of these cases, even those that are long since closed. Paternity establishment that may have been done years ago and are not subject to relitigation because the statute of limitations of 23 years is gone may not provide litigants with redress to those situations.
I don't know if this question is asked, if it has been, I'm sorry, but all other counties that were mentioned, the 28 other counties that are included here, they use the same venue, which is domestic relations court.
I can't say that for sure, because 28 counties of the 30 do have that same general grant of authority, but they also each have their own unique provisions as to where they prefer these actions to be filed. For instance, subsection G, subsection I, dealing with Richland and Summit County, specifically recognize the concurrent jurisdiction, but then say, we're not going to allow any of these cases to be filed in juvenile division. All of them have to be filed in the domestic relations division. That's how they treat it. Some of the other counties don't speak to that. They just pronounce the jurisdiction and say, let the cases fall where they are. Cuyahoga County specifically doesn't speak to it and leaves it up to the agency to choose which jurisdiction it files in.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision.